Welcome to the Pragmatic Podcast for February 4th, 2008. Mike Schmidt, Enterprise Recipes with Ruby on Rails.
It's horrible that many developers are more or less careless when working with customer data, with company secrets, especially because it's easier than ever to implement solutions that prevent identity theft or password stealing and all that.
That's Mike Schmidt, author of Enterprise Recipes with Ruby and Rails. I'm Daniel Steinberg, and this week, editor Susanna Falzer interviews Mike via Skype about his book on Rails. She starts by asking Mike what aspects of enterprise development he covers in his book.
The book mainly deals with tools and techniques such as XML, relational databases, and message queues. And with all the organizational stuff that software developers in the enterprise usually face, that is writing lots of documentation, structural testing, monitoring applications, deploying applications into more or less hostile environments and all that. And usually enterprise software deals with huge amounts of data. It doesn't ship. But if you do not burn it onto CD or DVD, it's software that usually constantly evolves over years and sometimes decades.
Could you talk about the advantages of using Ruby on Rails in the enterprise?
The biggest advantages of Ruby on Rails in the enterprise are agility and flexibility, which might come as a surprise for some listeners who think that enterprise software usually gets developed using waterfall methods or something like that. From my experience, enterprise software really suffers from changing requirements more heavily than every other software that gets developed outside in this world. So Rails and Ruby make it much easier to fulfill all these changing requirements. Usually, you do not work directly with a customer as a software developer in a big company. Usually you work with a product marketing department or something like that. And the problem is that people working in these departments often have huge wish lists and often consider software and IT as some kind of commodity. They write down some bullet points that mean a lot of software that has to be developed, but they do not think about it. And if you have tools such as Ruby and Rails, it's much easier to respond to these changing requirements. My first book was named very similar, Enterprise Integration with Ruby. It told the story of a software developer who had to deal with daily problems and solved it with Ruby in a big company. I think it was an interesting book, and lots of readers really, really loved the style, but it's more a book for the evening, for holidays, maybe more for reading pleasure. The new book is for people who really have urgent problems, who are facing a deadline and need a solution very, very quickly. But it's when you're sitting there in the evening and you have to connect to an LDAP repository using SSL, you need a solution. You do not want to hear stories or historic effects about LDAP. You just want to get to the code, and that's what the new book provides. 55 recipes with a very short problem description, and usually a solution or alternative solutions, and in some cases a discussion section. Whenever I thought it was appropriate, I explained the problem or the solution in more detail. But if you aren't interested, you do not have to read it. So you get your problem solved.
I'd like to cover some of the main topic areas that you discuss in the book. Maybe we'll start with security. So obviously security is a big enterprise concern. Can you talk about how we can use Ruby on Rails to deal with things like passwords and authentication?
Security is not only a big problem for big companies or enterprise developers. I think you can read about really, really serious security problems every week on Slashdot or on other forums. It's horrible that many developers are more or less careless when working with customer data or with company secrets or stuff like that. Especially because it's easier than ever to implement solutions that prevent identity theft or things like password stealing and all that. And Ruby and especially Rails with its great plugins has some very, very nice and elegant solutions to protect passwords, customer data, and all that. I start with some very, very simple things, that is how to encrypt data using symmetrical or asymmetrical cipher algorithms and how to create real random numbers that are very, very important for most cryptographic algorithms. And I also cover techniques like basic authentication that are still a good choice for some applications. And the book also deals with more modern approaches for authentication and single sign-on mechanisms such as OpenID. And of course, LDAP is covered and all that. Yeah, I think there is something for everybody.
Going a little further, how about e-commerce? There are some specific ways you discuss for e-commerce security in particular.
One of the biggest problems in e-commerce systems still is charging, getting the customers money. There are only a few companies on this planet that are big enough to work directly with credit card companies or with bigger banking companies. And the rest have to work with so-called payment gateways, which became very popular and quite easy in the last years, especially if you use Ruby on Rails and its excellent Active Merchant library. It's really a breeze to add credit card charging or PayPal or something else to your application. It got quite easy.
So clearly in the enterprise, it's not just a Ruby on Rails world. There are a lot of applications out there that we have to interact with that run on Java, .NET. How can we interact with these as Ruby on Rails developers?
You have various choices. On a network layer, you can choose from many, many protocols to connect applications. That is, you can choose to connect applications using plain HTTP or build REST services. You can use SOAP if you like, and you can even use asynchronous messaging if it's appropriate. The book contains several recipes explaining how to benefit from asynchronous messaging with Ruby and with Ruby on Rails. And you can also follow a more direct approach. That is, of course, you can embed C code easily into the Ruby interpreter. Mats did a really, really great job when he wrote Ruby in C. The C code looks like the Ruby code. So compared to other interpreted languages, for example, Perl, it's really easy to embed C code into the Ruby interpreter. And it's nearly as easy to use existing Java code, which is very important for enterprise software. I think in the last 5 to 7 years, more than 90% of all enterprise applications have been written in Java, which is totally okay. Java is a very strong language, and I think it would be not very smart to drop all the existing Java legacy code just because you do not like Java. You do not have to code in Java to use the Java platform. And Ruby and its Ruby Java bridge make it very easy to integrate Java code. And JRuby takes the whole thing even a step further by implementing a whole Ruby interpreter in Java. And really making it completely seamless, the whole integration process. Whenever I write JRuby code, that is, whenever I mix Java and Ruby, I completely forget that I'm using two different languages that will be repeated in the future with C# and iNRuby. It's still in its infancies, but they need a year. Then we have a complete Ruby interpreter written in C# on the very, very powerful .NET platform.
So now on to administration, which is not everyone's favorite task, Mike, but how can Ruby on Rails make administration easier?
Actually, Ruby definitely has its roots in Unix, which makes it not a 100% solution on Windows systems, but for everyday scripting tasks, Ruby is as good for scripting as Perl or Bash or Python or something else, which gets forgotten quite often. Today, many people think of web applications and maybe really enterprise applications when they think of Ruby, but it can be used for scripting and it's really great, especially with tools such as Rake and with all the supporting libraries you get for file manipulation and all that. Ruby is a great scripting language and can be used for many, many administration tasks.
How about database support?
Today, Ruby supports all commercial and open source database that I'm aware of. I think 2 weeks ago, IBM has released DB2 drivers for Ruby and for Ruby on Rails. So we have them all now. And the approach that Ruby and Ruby on Rails take on databases, that is mapping all the SQL stuff away as far as it gets, is very nice for beginners, for people who want to quickly develop a prototype or even a whole application. But you still have the freedom to use all the nitty-gritty vendor-specific things that you sometimes need. And in enterprise environments, you need them very often. Take stored procedures, for example. I do not know many people who use or write stored procedures today because many software developers consider business logic in the database as evil. But in typical enterprise environments, you have tons of PL SQL stored procedures or transact SQL or whatever your stored procedure flavor is in the company you're working for, and so you have to find a solution. And as so often in the Ruby world, some people came up with some pretty amazing ideas and solutions. In the book, I write about a very, very small Ruby gem that maps stored procedures in Oracle databases to ordinary Ruby methods. That is, you call a Ruby method that gets automatically translated into a stored procedure call. And that's how you want to use stored procedures, actually. I never thought about this before I started using Ruby.
That's interesting. And actually, speaking of that nice recipe solution, I'm wondering if there are some favorite recipes that you have.
I'm a big fan of domain-specific languages, and I had a lot of fun when writing the recipe about Sinatra, for example, which is a small framework for building RESTful applications. And I also enjoyed writing the screen scraping recipe that uses Mechanize, which is a Ruby gem for automating web browser access to websites.
What about after people finish your book? Where can they go from here?
There are many, many interesting things happening today in the Ruby and in the Rails world. Especially interesting for enterprise developers are new deployment scenarios. That is, we have with Fusion and that is Mod Rails, a completely new way of deploying web applications that is especially interesting for typical operations departments in big companies. And of course, projects such as JRuby and iNRuby will bring new impulses to enterprise development with Ruby. And even today, it's very easy to deploy a Ruby application to a Java web application server. And I think it's getting easier and easier with every release of JRuby, and I think the same will happen on the .NET framework with IronRuby. I'm really looking forward to Ruby 2.0, especially to the concurrency features. If you try to establish new technologies such as Ruby or Ruby on Rails in big companies, I think everybody's faced with the same questions. Isn't it too slow? And does it scale and all that? And 2 years ago, I often had to say, I had to admit that people were right. So for many, many purposes, it was too slow. And it was very, very difficult to deploy and install applications and all that. But times have changed rapidly. Even this week, I've learned so much about some aspects of Mod Rails, for example, that I couldn't believe that it's so easy to install new software. The best experiences I made in the last weeks were with the operations department that I'm working with. And I think they really, really like or love Ruby and Ruby on Rails. They've been a bit cautious in the beginning, but now it's their daily business, and I think they really like it.
That's Mike Schmidt, author of Enterprise Recipes with Ruby on Rails on the Pragmatic Podcast. Mike was interviewed by editor Susanna Falzer. As always, you can find more information about our books, screencasts, and training at pragprog.com. Our podcasts are at pragprog.com/podcasts, and you can join the discussion at forums.pragprog.com. The music for this podcast was composed and performed by Andy Hunt. For the Pragmatic Programmers, I'm Daniel Steinberg.